Now we're going to start looking at the readings for this fourth Sunday of the year. We're in cycle C, as you know. And the theme, as I've already mentioned, is prophecy. You see how it links back with experiential faith? Jeremiah wasn't guessing when he announced these words. He knew. And he knew by a grace. That grace shared, you see, is what the baptism of the Spirit is. It's an experiential reality. We pray for it, my friends. The world needs us to know what we're talking about. We have to be able to witness, huh? As Paul tells us in the letter to the Philippians, we have to shine like stars in a dark night, showing forth to men the word of life. Okay. So this first text is a text from Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, and this is his vocation, so it's chapter 1, verses 4 to 19, with a considerable portion of them omitted. 6 to 16 is omitted for the sake of brevity. But you can go read them, they're quite beautiful. Okay. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. Your vocation, Jeremiah, was stamped on you from the moment of your conception. See, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You see? And then he goes on, but now do you gird your loins, which is an expression. Get ready. Get your coat on. Stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its princes and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So Jeremiah was very young and says that, Lord, this isn't for me. I'm just a boy. And God says, don't say you're just a boy. You do what I tell you. And so, you see, he has to go and announce the word of the Lord, and this is going to meet with opposition, and he knows it. So much of Jeremiah, in some ways my favorite prophet, is complaint. You led me on, O Adonai, and I let myself be led. You forced me, and you won. And I, a laughing stock, all day I cry violence. You see, that's my cry. Everybody laughs at me. They make fun of me. Or, as you can read from some of the other passages, they try to kill me. And finally they do. Jeremiah, as a figure, is the figure that inspires the author of the 2nd and 3rd Isaiah, especially 2nd, 40 to 55, to describe the suffering servant. The suffering servant, the description of that suffering servant, who is Jesus, you see, is taken from the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's life was a prophecy. The word of God meets with opposition because men don't want to change, even though they're heading toward foolishness and even destruction. And so you see, this is what he says, that the word of Adonai came to me saying, you see, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I had plans for you, Jeremiah. The Lord could say that to you and to me. I have plans for you. Before you were conceived, I have plans for you. You better come to me and find out what they are, or your life will be very superficial. And if I'm calling you to be a prophet, take up the job. If I'm just calling you to be a good wife, a good mother, bring your children up in holiness, do it. But learn what is my call on your life. and not just keep ducking it, you know, until you're 96 and then you wonder, I wonder what I did with my life. That would be awful. And so, you see, this is the prophecy. Gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. That can be hard, you know. That can be hard. Sometimes a priest has a hard sermon to preach, and he doesn't want to do it. It's going to make people mad. What he's going to hear is he's shaking hands as they go out of Mass. It's not always happy, you know. But you've got to do it. Otherwise, we're letting people go on in illusion that God's one big happy granddaddy and everything's fine. You know, it's not fine. And especially, as I've already said, when you look at our culture right here in America, you know, how few are really practicing the Christian faith with an experiential faith? How many know what they're doing? They go and they're loyal. But you see, as the Pope already told us, we have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It has to happen. We have to have an awareness that we are baptized and confirmed, awareness of that grace, so that the Lord can guide us and lead us. It is so precious. That's why at the outset of this charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church, people were so exuberant. It was heady wine. For the first time in their life, they knew why they had faith and what faith was. Because it's always a knowledge of the Lord. It's not just assenting to formulae. That has to happen. It's personal. Why? Because prayer is personal. It's a conversation between you and Jesus. And if you're not hearing him talk, what kind of a conversation is that? Know the joy of this. Go to the Lord and beg him for this grace. Lord, I have simply got to have it. And keep begging him, and you'll get it. You'll get it. Because you're going to need it to mediate to your children any kind of certitude and confidence. And they, so that they can live their lives. It's no news to anybody that the country is becoming less and less Christian. I mean, a man on a bicycle can see that. Just look at the television, listen to the speeches, see the things that are being done, you know, forcing abortion on people and so forth. This will lead to great darkness. And in great darkness, my friends, people despair. That's why it says that we have to shine like stars in a dark night, holding out to the world the word of life. By who we are, by our care, by our compassion, by our kindness, and certainly not by our condemnatory preaching. They have to see the face of Christ. They have to see him in us so that they take heart. And that's our job, you see. That's how we shine like stars. And so you see, this is discussing the prophetic vocation of Jesus. But by our baptism, we all have this same prophetic grace. We all have this grace. Not like Jesus had it, or like some of the great prophets of our time, Mother Teresa, who, you see, a prophet is somebody entrusted with a message from God to be delivered to the people. That's a prophet. Doesn't have to be foretelling the future. It can be like with Mother Teresa. Look and see Christ suffering and all these people and come to their aid. Word of the Lord. Word of the Lord, the one we just heard here from the Pope. You see? Be alert. And I'm just going to read it again for you if I can find it quickly. You see, I can't find it quickly. Okay. Anyway, you see, it's this word. Well, I'll have it in a moment now. I would like to extend the invitation to all, the whole church. Let us rediscover, dear brothers and sisters, the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit And he goes on to define it for us. It means recovering an awareness of baptism and confirmation. That is what it's all about. And as that dawns on us, then we know what prayer is, because when we're talking to Jesus, he's answering us. We're not talking to a wall. We talk, and we know in the depth of our spirit that the Lord hears us and is answering us. And so we go every day with a thirst so that we can fulfill the church's prophetic vocation to bear witness to the reality and the majesty of Jesus Christ, his love, the power of his passion, his call to an eternal life, his call to turn from sin and embrace the good news. And he makes that call through us. And it's not a harsh call. It's not going around rattling your rosary beads and saying, repent. It's showing the face of Christ shine like a star. People want to come and talk to you on the bus, because you look like you know what you're talking about, and you've got a kind, open face, which happens if you love Jesus. You don't have to worry about fixing your face. Fix your heart. Your face will show it. My friends, you see where we're going. You see the fear, the darkness, the impositions to turn further and further from faith. And we have to be the ones to make Jesus known and loved. And that is the prophetic vocation, you see. And so that's what we're here listening for in this text, you see. These quotes, and then the text. And so that's the prophecy of Jeremiah. And I'm looking now to see, here it is, Psalm 71, which is the psalm. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me. In your justice, rescue me. Your justice is rescue, not condemnation. Justice, you've heard me now 1,000 times say this. Justice, tzedek, biblically means honoring the truth of every relationship. He's made us his children. Therefore, he's just when he comes to the aid of his children. And that's what it's saying here, you see. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. You see? Hoshieni, save me. Okay. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock and my fortress. O God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. When you say that with all your heart is glued to Jesus. He prayed this. God himself prayed this. You see? You are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb, you are my strength. From the minute I was conceived, Lord, you've had your eye on me. You baptized me. You're having me sit here and listen to your word. That's all your grace. And so the call is to have a mercy, have care for this world, and tell them about the Lord, and tell them they're supposed to know him personally, not just be loyal to some formulae. Amen.